Hey, let the family say amen. Why don't y'all put your hands together? Let's thank God for our psalmist today. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord for Brookelle, and God is using her in a mighty way. And thank God for her gifts, and thank you for sharing with us today. I'm telling you, when that play you did with that boy beat you up, I'm still looking for him. I tell you, you played that real too well. So some of us, we were really angry when we saw somebody laying hands on our Brookelle. There's a word from the Lord today. Dwight, thank you for sharing that text with us from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the 5th through the 8th through the 7th verse. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in knowledge, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Amen. Amen. Ken Allpart was 32 years old back in the 90s, in the late 90s. Ken Allpart was a futures trader in Chicago, Illinois. He was someone who had been privileged and had had a lot of experiences in his life. A friend of his said, we ought to do something. We ought to create a rowing team at one of the high schools. And so Ken Allpart went to Manly High School on the west side of Chicago. And now recently, the actor, rapper by the name of Common, with the help of Grant Hill, Dwayne Wade, and the Ninth Wonder, were executive producers. They produced this movie. It's now been released. It's a documentary movie. And it's called A Beautiful Thing. Where Ken Allpart, who was truly from the other side of town, from a different experience, went to the west side. He took a boat, he took one of those rowboats, and set it up in the gym, set it up even, I think, in the cafeteria. And people walked by wondering, what in the world was this? And then he put up a sign-up sheet saying, whoever wants to be on the row team, all you have to do is sign your name. Manly High School on the west side of Chicago don't know nothing about rowing. They know a little something about football, but they know a whole lot about basketball. And people begin to laugh because they said, ain't no way, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work for several reasons. One, it's not gonna work because it's on the west side. Ain't nothing good happening on the west side. On the west side of Chicago, you ain't got nothing but black folk, poor folk, and it's gang infested. So much infested that some of the kids, as they walked to school, every block there was a different gang. Every block you had to worry about if your hat was the right way or if you were wearing the right colors. For 4 to 5 blocks, you had to be concerned about being jumped on your way to school. They said it ain't gonna work because it's on the west side of Chicago. It ain't gonna work because that's a real small boat. It's a small boat, and it's a boat that's gotta be in the water, and you trying to put some black folk in a small boat in a water, and everybody know that black folk and water don't really go together. Most black folk don't even swim, because black folk and water and black women and water sure don't go together. There's another reason it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work because a rowing team It takes commitment. And these are people that are from different blocks, different gangs, and there's no way you're going to get these boys to come together because it takes commitment. Not only does it take commitment, but rowing isn't easy. It's a strenuous exercise. You're trying to tell me that you're going to get a few folk to come together that don't even like each other to get in a small boat and do something strenuous in unison with somebody hollering at them. Because in this boat, in order to do it, you'll see there's a person in the back that's doing a whole lot of hollering, sometimes cussing, to motivate and keep these individuals inspired. They said it won't work, but it exceeded their expectations, They did make it through training. Junior, they made it in the boat, but on their first race, they hit the wall. They hit the wall bad. And there is a man named Pookie who was the coxswain. And Pookie said, what I remember about that first race, that hitting that wall, it was painful and it was embarrassing. And when they went back to the locker room, one of the leaders, Arche, who wrote a book, Sugar Water, he was sitting there with his head down, and a black gentleman who worked for the Parks Department came and put his hands on his shoulder and said, you didn't think it was going to be easy. And he told the young man, I know y'all hit the wall this time, but you can't stop now. There are people depending on you. There are children watching on you, watching you. You've got to keep going, because what you're doing, it's a good thing. And they stayed with it. They stayed with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, as common, narrated the movie, A Beautiful Thing. Paul is narrating 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, who's at the church on the coast in the south, about the Macedonian churches, small churches in the north. And Paul is talking to the big church about the small church, about unifying together to help the mother church in the east. I'll say it again. Paul is narrating, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's trying to inspire them about what the little church did. The little church exceeded everybody's expectations. And sometimes it takes the experience and the determination and the conduct of a small group to inspire the big group. I'll say it again if you don't mind. He's talking to the big church about the little church and ask them to come together in order to be a blessing to the mother church in Jerusalem. He's saying to them in these verses, these folk exceeded, hey, the Macedonians up north exceeded our expectations. Shalante, the question then is, how did they exceed the expectations? Because y'all done spent 2 weeks. Y'all know about the fact that they had some severe trials. Daphne June, they had some bad weather. Esther, things were tough. They were down to their last dime. They were broke, but they were rich with overflowing joy. And yet, everybody didn't even expect them to do anything. But Madison, the text says, Paul narrates and said, they exceeded our expectations. The question that I've got to answer in this sermon today is, how did they do it? Y'all, I've been waiting 3 weeks to get to this verse. I'm going to tell you how they exceeded expectations. I'm going to tell you how you can exceed expectations. The text says, I want to tell you this, they had an orderly offering. They had an orderly offering. They gave the biggest offering they've ever given in their life. Look at the text. The text says, here's how they did it. they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Have I got a witness here? Somebody, I want to tell you, if you want to exceed expectations in your life, the first thing you ought to do is give yourself to the Lord. It's a good offering. It's a big offering. If you start with the big offering, small offerings won't matter. I'll say it again. If you start with the big offering, the reason why some of y'all can't give small offerings, you never gave the big offering. If you start with the big offering, then the little offerings, they won't matter. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. See, the problem with some folk, and you need to know that I know that God knows, you can give him a few minutes, but he don't want a few minutes. He wants you. You can come and drop him a few dollars here and there, but he don't want the dollars. What he wants is you. You can even praise him, but what he really wants is you. Because praise without giving yourself is noise. A dollar without giving yourself it makes God nauseous. Coming to God like you really his when you know you just serving him on the down low, that makes God sick. He wants all of you. Did I say he wants all? He wants all of you. Here's how they did it. They gave a real big offering because he wants your mind. John, he wants your mind because he wants to show you and teach you how to think like he thinks. Trudy, he wants your emotion because he wants you to be able to feel like he feels. He wants your energy, Smallwood, because he wants whatever you do, he wants you to do it with energy and enthusiasm. And he wants, Dwight, he wants your will. He wants all of it. Let me tell you how I define will. Shay, will is you want to. Let me say it again. He wants you want to. He wants you want to, because every now and then God will drop a thought on your mind from the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to want to, not have to. He wants you to want to, not got to. He wants you to want to, and everything is better for you when you want to. Houghton, the singer, what's his first name? Isaiah? Israel Houghton tells the story of being invited to the floor seats to an NBA basketball game, because he's got that kind of hookup, and he was going to be on the floor, and Israel loves basketball. Israel said, he told the guy, he said, man, while shaking his head in disappointment, I rest it, he said, I can't go to the ball game. I really want to go to the ball game, but I can't go to the ball game with you because I got to lead praise and worship. And the Holy Ghost, he said, pricked his heart. And all the way as he was driving to church, going over in his mind the songs he was going to sing, and he's got to thinking about the goodness of God, how great it is to worship God, and the privilege it is to stand before God's people and share the word and lead them into worship. Israel said he felt convicted. He said, I told him I got to. But what I should have said was, I get to stand before God's people. I get to sing God's praises. I get to help people come into the presence of the Lord. I get to help people sing and give God the glory that he deserves. I get to teach people the understanding that when praises go up, how blessings will come down. He said, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said, I got to. I should have said, I get to. Somebody looking at me right now, since the Lord woke you up this morning, since the Lord watched over you all night long, since the Lord kept germs away from you, look here, up in here, in your house, you get to clap your hands, you get to lift your voice, you get to holler because he's worthy. I praise the Lord today because I get to tell him, thank you for the children. Thank you for my grandbabies. Thank you for those on the way. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you that you made a way. Thank you for the doors that you opened. Thank you for the doors that you closed. Thank you that you keep on. You keep on keeping. You keep on keeping. I can't go to church, but I get to worship with my family on the screen. They made a real good offering. Let me tell you the second thing. If you want to exceed, you got to learn how to tie up loose ends. You got to learn how to tie up loose ends. Because a whole lot of y'all talk about finishing something that you ain't really finished. I talk to my team every now and then, and I remind them, it ain't finished until it's finished. Anybody who says, we got everything done, and all we got to do is, that ain't finished. We did all of this, and it's done, except for, that ain't finished. It ain't finished till it's finished. And Paul said, y'all said you were going to do it over a year ago. Now finish it. You were talking about giving and all that you wanted to do. Now finish it. I ain't got to stay here long. Jesus taught us a real good lesson. He was on the cross. People said, if you are the Son of God, come down. If you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. And Jesus didn't pay him no attention because he knew what he had to finish. Somebody said, when you come to your kingdom, remember, let me do it like this. Will you hook a brother up? I know you got a kingdom, and I know you don't deserve what you're going through, and I don't understand it, but I know you God. And when you get to your kingdom, will you hook a brother up? Jesus said, I don't have to wait till I get to my kingdom. I can say the word right now. Listen to his testimony. Today, you, hey, shall be with me in paradise. He hooked him up before he died. I don't want to preach that, but ain't it good to know God will hook you up before you die? Because if you don't get hooked up before you die, ain't no hookup after you die. I'm glad. Hey, Madison, he hooked me up. I've been hooked up. And then one more thing, the last thing Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. Not almost. It is finished. Father, I healed who you told me to heal. I fed who you told me to feed. I taught the children how to love, and I kept those you gave to me. It is finished. There's a big difference between I am finished and it is finished, because Jesus knows that there's more to come. There's several things that got to go on. But Jesus went on and he finished what God told him to do. Then he said, and you'll know that everything's all right, because when I get home, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost, he didn't come half the way. He came all the way. And every time somebody opens their heart and trusts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost moves in, seals them, secures them, teaches them, convicts them, guides them, strengthens them, because he finishes what he starts. Now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, advocating for you and me. Paul said, promise is one thing, performance is something else. If you're going to excel, you've got to learn how to wrap up some loose ends. Hey, Ed, you remember the other week we had a meeting, and we had so many loose ends that I had to apologize to the team. I called them in, and I said, fellas, I want to tell you I'm sorry. We got 6-7 things going on around here, and it's all my fault. We gonna call a timeout, and we ain't starting nothing else until we finish what we done started. Who am I talking to up in here? And you'd be amazed at how far you'll get when you just finish. Quit starting stuff. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my tone right. But quit starting stuff. I'm trying. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't really want to fuss at nobody. But the problem with so many people is they need to quit starting stuff. Just finish some stuff you done already started, and you'll discover that you will have exceeded expectations. How'd they do it? Paul said they gave a big offering. Secondly, they knew how to tie up loose ends. And the third thing, and he says this to the Corinthians, he said, y'all need to protect the brand. Protect your brand. Protect your brand. Businesses spend a whole lot of time trying to perfect and establish a brand. They try to do something in such an excellent way that when people see their logo, the message is automatic. They operate with excellence. I never shall forget, it's been, probably 10, 12 years ago, when our beloved son, how God opened a door through numerous vessels to allow our beloved son, Derek, to come from Liberia to the United States. And we were working real hard trying to make it happen. And the easiest way for him to get here was to fly from New York, from Liberia to the car to New York, and from New York to Indianapolis. And I told my brother I couldn't get there at the time that the flight was starting, but I said, I don't want you to land without landing in the hands of somebody. This is your first time. And so my brother, Dr. Roscoe, he went to the airport and found him. And I said, I know where we'll meet. Let's meet at the Steak and Shake on Washington Avenue. That's the deal. You get him at the airport, bring him to the Steak and Shake on Washington Avenue, and you'll get him something to eat. And by the time y'all are into your meal, I'll be there, and we'll take him on home. I was at that particular Steak and Shake, and as we were ordering the meals, I saw some individuals doing some stuff. And I said to my friends, I said, they messing with the brand. Steak and Shake is known for the fact that they ain't supposed to cook the burger until you order it. But when I looked, and it was the manager doing it, he had a whole line of burgers that was on the side, just kind of sitting there. And I said to myself, that ain't why we paying extra. We don't mind waiting. We know what Steak and Shake stands for. We understand that when we come here, you're not even going to reach in the cooler and grab the steak until we order it. We know we got to wait. but we don't mind waiting because that's what you that's what's required for the excellence. And then lo and behold, wasn't too long, the one here in Evansville, they were doing the same thing. East Side, they were doing the same thing. West Side, they were doing the same thing. And now when you go on the West Side, you don't even see the building anymore. When you go on the East Side, the building's closed. They've closed up shop because there were some people that would not protect the brand. They started doing it their own way. They started cutting corners instead of cleaning corners. They started doing shortcuts, and lo and behold, now somebody else is taking their place. I'm trying to help you up in here. Paul said, hey, y'all, you excelled in everything else. You got an A in everything else. Paul said, you excelled when it came to knowledge. You excelled when it came to faith. You excelled when it came to speech. You excelled when it came to diligence. What did your report card look like to have an A in faith, A in speech, A in knowledge, A in diligence, and then a D minus in grace? You need to, come on, since you already know what excellence looked like, since you're already excellent in other areas, you might as well excel in this as well. I would hate to show your report and find out that you've got A's in everything else, but you're failing when it comes to a simple act of grace. And that small offering, that small act of grace can make a difference. Junior, I'm trying to tell you, a small act of grace can make a difference. Ken Allpart, he was a 32-year-old white guy coming into the West Side, and the fella says, you know, he's bold, rolling up in here. He could have got shot, he could have got jumped, but he came anyway. And he started that team, and then after that season, he bowed his head, he looked at the camera, and he said, Daphne, he said, we failed. He said, I failed. Nobody went to college. Nobody got a scholarship. We didn't win nothing financially. It was a disaster. He said, we failed. But then the scene changes because 20 years later, them same boys, first of all, we got to celebrate the fact they came together at the barbershop. They were at the barbershop of one of the guys who was on the team as a teenager. 20 years later, they came to the barbershop and they got to talking about what a difference Rowan made in their life. They got to talking about how they started off, they didn't like each other and they didn't know each other. They talked about the fact we were from the West Side. They talked about some of the heartaches and trials that their families had been through. They said, but when we learned how to get together, when we came together and sat in that little boat, and when we came together, we were scared, but we learned how to work together. And one of the things that they said we discovered, it was amazing what happened when we sat on that water. When we sat on that water in Lincoln Park by Lakeshore Drive, and when we came from the West Side and were sitting on the water, when we looked up from the water, we got a different view of the city. They said the whole city looked different. We saw the skyline of the city. We didn't hear sirens. We didn't see police. We didn't see or hear bullets. Nobody was dying on the water. They said, this is a beautiful thing. It was an act of grace, but because one person made an act of grace, it changed some other lives. Now, 20 years later, Ken changes his story. He said, I thought I failed because they hit the wall. I thought I failed because nobody went to college. I thought I failed because it was a financial disaster. I thought I failed, but what I discovered, them boys, when they were given a different perspective, when they were given a different horizon, they started rowing their boats, and you hear them saying things that normally young black boys don't say. I think I can.
I think I can. I think I can. I think I can be a father. And they taught their children how to row. I think I can go to work. And they started businesses. I think I can reach down and help somebody else. And they started picking up people one by one by one, giving people another chance. They said, I think I can. And they rode their way into a new future, rode their way into a new horizon. I praise God that when you give a small act of grace, you don't know, you don't know what a blessing that's gonna be. It changed their life. It changed their children's life. They started talking about God. They started testifying. They said, everybody that was in that boat, their lives are different. It changed their mama. It changed their brothers and sisters. It changed their direction. All because an act of grace. Have I got a witness here? I want to tell you, if you just give yourself first, then little offerings don't matter. But when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior has come, don't worry about it. Grace, it's a beautiful thing. A grace gift is a beautiful thing. You don't know how it's going to bless. You don't know how it's going to deliver. You don't know who it's going to rescue. But I thank God I may not have a whole lot, but what I have, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Take what I've got. Take all of me. Help me do what I can. That somebody might be blessed. Have I got a witness? They were still alive. They're still celebrating. You're still alive and you're still celebrating because of Jesus. You're still alive and you're still celebrating. So give him glory. Give him praise, because the God we serve touched somebody a long time ago to give an act of grace that has allowed us to come together and still worship, still grow, still bless, still save, all because somebody extended an act of grace. It's a beautiful thing. It changes directions. It changes perspectives. It gives people a new horizon. And my prayer is that you will know what a privilege it is to be a child of God, and what a privilege it is. You get to tell your story. You get to tell what the Lord has done for you. Can't nobody tell your story like you but you. But when you tell your story, others will discover that if he did it for you, maybe he can do it. He can do it for me. I tell you what, the Bible says, he that hears my words and believe on him who sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life.